Welcome to Lorehammer, a beginner's guide to 40K, episode 2, The War in Heaven.
Our second episode, and today our main topic is going to be the War in Heaven, pretty much like the first recorded history in the galaxy.
Yeah, and that seems like the best place to start. It doesn't affect a lot in 40K, but it does affect a couple of the main races.
Before we get started on that, there are a couple questions from people. Actually, what happened was I kind of put it out on my Facebook, asking if anyone had any questions, got some fun stuff back. But the question I want to answer today is, someone asked me, what is Warhammer? Great question. Warhammer is really just a mixture of two words. You take the word war, then you take the word hammer, and you just put them together, and then you get Warhammer.
Seems pretty straightforward. Whoever asked that must not know the English language very well.
It was confusing why they were asking in the first place, really.
Did they ask, what is Warhammer, or what is a Warhammer?
Uh-oh.
I don't even know now. The semantics escape me.
Because there's a distinct difference. That,
I suppose there is.
You know what? It was even capitalized. I might even be answering this wrong, but I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
Another question I got was from a player, actually, and a friend of ours says, why do Tyranids suck, or is it just the players? And then he even linked to our resident Tyranid player. And so it's a great question, really. arguably, Tyranids are the biggest threat right now in the galaxy.
Next to, you know, Primaris Marines and the way they destroy, you know,
right.
Lore.
Okay. But that's your dirty opinion. So, Tyranids being the biggest threat would actually make them the most... It should translate to the strongest army on tabletop. Obviously, Games Workshop balances stuff out, so it wouldn't. But if for some reason you have a Tyranid player that you're consistently beating, I would say one of two things. Either A, they did not make any sacrifices to the Dice Gods, or B, they have absolutely no tactical ability and should probably stop playing the hobby.
And if it's, you know, the same as our group, all Tyranids player, it's probably the second one.
Right. Most likely your Tyranid player has no ability to play.
And they just, like, run around yelling, kick, 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 kick. It's usually how that works.
Yeah. So I have a couple more, but we'll probably go over them next week. So that is our update there from our last podcast that we did called The Warp. There are two things we want to make changes to or updates as we were listening to it. So, Mark, I'll let you take the first one on that.
The first one was just to clarify blanks. We kept calling them blanks or nulls or whatever. There's actually kind of two types. There's blanks and pariahs. When I was talking, more about pariahs as opposed to blanks. So blanks are psychic powers do not affect them. And, like, people kind of feel, like, a little awkward around them, but it's nothing crazy. Where a pariah, like, psychic powers don't affect them. And, like, an area around them, psychic powers do not have an effect. And people just hate them. And they kind of steal, like, life energy from psychic beings.
Yeah.
So when I was talking more about pariahs and not blanks. But, yeah, I didn't know there was, like, the two different categories. I thought it was kind of all lumped into one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it turns out there's the gene within it, and if it's the recessive gene, it's a blank, at which point you just absorb the power, something Inquisitors use commonly as shields, and then if it's an active gene, then it becomes the pariah, at which point people really hate you because you're literally feeding off everyone's life force around you.
Yeah.
Because everyone has the connection to the warp, right?
Yeah, so...
The second thing we wanted to talk about is we discussed metal in demons, and I believe I said they use demonic metal to put them in demons, which is wrong. the primary function of putting metal in demons is actually to anchor them to the materium more firmly.
Yeah, because they're creatures of energy and they need to spend their energy to stay in the materium world, where if they have metal, then they're anchored. And you have to then destroy the metal to fully get rid of it.
Right, exactly. They latch onto it.
Yeah.
Pretty cool one is the Soul Grinder, which I always thought was sweet. It's like a little spider. Well, not little. It's massive, but it's like big. It's a spider, and then there's just a massive demon torso on top of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like the whole bottom is mechanical and just made of metal, and then the top is just a fused demon. So I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. That's that. I'm ready to get started on the main topic.
Yeah.
Okay. Today, the war in heaven. Mark, why don't you take it away?
Okay, so it all starts off with the first planetary... No,
what is it? Spacefaring?
Spacefaring, that's the word, yeah. Spacefaring race called the Old Ones. And they're kind of like described as like reptilian-like and...
Yeah, they're quoted as having a cold-blooded wisdom.
Yeah, and they are reptilian-like. Pretty sure they are.
Reptiles are cold-blooded.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They also run Earth and everything that we do here.
The reptilians!
The reptilians are here.
They're watching us.
Yeah.
Is Obama a reptilian?
Oh, yeah. Well, probably.
I don't know. I never saw his birth certificate.
Yeah, I watched some pretty convincing YouTube clips for sure. Yeah, so those are the old ones. But yeah, so they're kind of where we start off,
mm-hmm.
and they're the first spacefaring race, and they spread across the galaxy, and they had really good understanding of the warp.
Yeah, and this is back before the warp was all crazy and in turmoil. It's still its energy,
yeah.
But it's smooth.
Yeah. I think the date that they give is 60 million years before...
Yes, 40K.
40K. So we're talking a long time ago.
Yeah. It actually... 60 million is the destruction. So we were talking even before this.
Oh, I guess,
yeah. Because the war in heaven lasts forever.
Yeah, yeah. That's just when the... Yeah, you're right. So it was even before that, and I don't think they give a time frame, but...
It's too old, really.
Exactly.
The only people who existed at that point were the old ones... And the Necron, really, that are alive today, at that point, that we know of. So you have the old ones, who are this race that's spacefaring. They have good technology, and they have a good understanding of the warp.
Yeah.
So really long lived, really powerful, and then now we enter the Necronter. And the Necronter were actually. Much or even more technological advanced than the old ones, but they had no understanding of the warp.
Yeah.
Which puts you at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
They lived in a star system where their sun constantly just destroyed their bodies. They were very short-lived. They were more focused on surviving than exploring. Every day was just a constant struggle for the Necronter.
Yeah.
Was there like an average lifespan for them?
Not that I read, but it does say that they couldn't focus on other exploits because all they were trying to do was live.
They're pretty stunted in their like technological growth and whatnot.
Well, no, technologically they actually were very advanced.
Oh.
But they couldn't get past the fact that their sun was just destroying their bodies.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like no matter how much radiation you have, like you can't reach past it.
Yeah.
So the Necron are ruled by the Necronter, have a bunch of different dynasties, and they're all fighting each other in the Wars of Secession. And they're fighting across their star system and because they hadn't left yet. And then the leaders, the Triarch, I think his name was it's either Sarzek or Sazrek? I should open the page. But it's the king. It's the leader of, like, the Triarch.
Yeah.
He gets together with the Triarch, which are the political rulers of the Necronter, And they determine that what we need is a way to unify the race. And so
get everybody back on track.
Yeah, instead of fighting each other, like, let's focus our efforts somewhere else to, like, kind of just ignore the fact that we're all dying and everything is death and decay.
No better way to focus your efforts and really bond as a race than to commit genocide.
Right, of course, yeah.
I find most of my closest friends I have committed genocide with. And
those are the lasting friendships.
Those are the lasting friendships, yeah. You know.
It was Cesaric, who's the Triarch, leader of the Triarch.
Okay.
Cesaric. So what they do is, previously, when the Old Ones had gone through their star system, they had petitioned the Old Ones. Look, you guys, super smart. You're immortal.
Yeah, long lived. Were they immortal, you think, or just, like, long lived?
I think the Necrontyr assumed immortality.
Yeah, because it's like if an ant looked at us, like,
right, we're immortal.
Yeah, whoa, they live more than a day?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay.
So the Necrontyr petitioned the Old Ones for this, I don't know, the ability to live long, the secrets of long
life.
Just
a better healthcare plan.
Right, yeah.
That's all
they wanted.
They just
give
wanted
us some damn insurance.
Yeah, they just wanted to get on the same healthcare plan, but the Old Ones denied them.
For whatever reason, too. It doesn't really say.
Well, because then their premium would go up, because they're all healthy and fit. They don't want their premium.
This is a brand new light I'm looking at this. This belongs in our theory. Why did the Old Ones deny them?
I'm telling you why. They don't want their premiums to go up by letting a bunch of, you know,
filthy, diseased-ridden people. Yeah. So the Old Ones deny the Necrontyr.
Yeah.
So this is kind of stewing in the Necrontyr's minds the whole time.
Yeah, and they, like you said, they met him even before their wars of secession.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was stewing. So then,
oh yeah, they're jealous.
Oh, extremely.
Yeah. So then, they're like, what better foe to turn our attention to these guys?
Yeah.
So they decide. They decide we're gonna go to war with the Old Ones.
Yeah.
Which is laughable.
Yeah.
So the Necron had greater tech, but they had no warp capability. So the Old Ones at this point, they had access to the warp and webways.
Yeah.
So you can go in the warp and travel, right? Because it bends space and time.
Yeah.
But then there's the webway, which is a stroll in the park. So they were able to step, it says, and enter at one point in the galaxy and do a step and come out another side.
Yeah.
So it just shows how much they knew and understood about the warp itself.
Yeah, so the webway is a huge, big thing, even in 40K.
Yeah, it just stretches all the way back in time.
So we'll touch briefly on it now, and we'll keep expanding on it as we progress. But think of the webway as if you got, we'll go back to our analogy of the warp and how it's like a sea, a swirling mass of energy. And then you have two islands in the sea. So you could go across the ocean, like in a boat or whatever.
Right, and then you're carried by the currents, and you're kind of at the mercy of the sea.
Yeah, but the webway is more like a tunnel that goes from one land point to the other point, and it goes like in the water. So think like a glass tunnel that goes through the water from one island to another. So you're in the warp, but
you're untouched.
You're untouched. It's safe. You can see the swirling mass of energy all around you, but you're safe from it.
Yeah. So they were in the warp, and then they created these webways, which just, it really cemented their dominance.
Yeah.
Because no one was close to their tech.
Yeah. But, so the interesting thing about that, though, is I wonder why they would have made it. Because way back then, like, the Chaos Gods weren't a thing.
No one, yeah.
It like, was, I guess swirling energy is still dangerous.
Yes.
It's not out to get you. But, like,
right. It's not malicious,
but
it is unpredictable.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
And I do believe I read that the webway actually increases the speed at which you can travel. Because it does say that when they created the webways, then they were able to step from point to point in the galaxy.
Yeah.
So, because when you're in the warp, you need protection.
Yeah.
Right? And so,
well, it's like swimming. You can only swim so fast. But if you're running, you can run faster than you can swim.
Yeah.
If we go back to that silly analogy.
It's so difficult to explain it any other way.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we're at the Necrontyr. They are the ones who start the war in heaven. And this war in heaven lasts for thousands, aeons, it says, really.
Yeah.
Very, 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 very long time. Yeah. Which is crazy because the Necrontyr do not have long lives.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
How does that happen?
Are they just really good at reproducing or something, maybe?
There were a good number of them.
Yeah.
But I would just say, like, just because of how long it lasted, and anytime there's conflict, there's an arms race, right? Mm-hmm. So there's always going to be technological bursts. Who knows? Maybe their quality of life increased a little bit. Really, as soon as they, like, were willing to leave their own star, they should have seen some improvement in their quality of life.
Well, that's what I was wondering. It, like, isn't there a planet on another star somewhere?
Right. Hmm. But at that point,
it's like their DNA has already been so degraded by, the radiation that, even leaving it, like, you're already screwed.
Yeah. And then the whole purpose of the war was to unify them. So they couldn't be like, our lives are better, let's stop the war. They're like, no, we have to keep going to keep our people together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, an existential threat usually is, like, a unifying force, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Something you can't even begin to fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless bonds you together.
Yeah, everyone works together. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so the Necron Tur fighting these guys, okay. The old ones beat them soundlessly.
Yeah.
Like, this is really quick. So this happens very shortly after they declare the war on heaven.
Yeah.
They go, they're a thorn.
I thought you said it lasted.
It does.
There's kind of a couple parts to the war on heaven.
This is the first part of the war.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
So they declare the war on heaven. They say, hi, we want to fight you guys.
Hi!
And the old ones just smack them down.
Hey, guys, you want to have a fight?
We're going to fight you.
They all take off their shirts.
Yeah, yeah. Fold them up. Playground at 3:00.
Yeah.
So the old ones just smack them down.
Yeah. And that has to do a lot with their warp abilities and also the webway, because the speed of the webway, the Necron Tur could not match. So, you know, they can launch invasions on planets and fully take it over before any reinforcements can arrive.
Yeah. Makes sense. I guess it would be like back in the day, one army would be trying to transport their stuff on horses while another had a train or something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's even closer, like the analogy would be on foot versus like a plane.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Like the webway and the warp, like to be able to cross at faster than light travel, you can't be touched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and I don't know if we talked about last episode. I don't think we really got into how races can use the warp, not just for travel, but also as a weapon. I don't recall us talking about that.
Maybe not, yeah.
Like, so there's things called psykers, and basically they're able to suck energy from the warp and, like, cast lightning bolts or...
Yeah, it manifests. Able
to manifest that energy into being able to using it as a weapon, which has no defense against. Like, unless you yourself are a psyker and have warp ability, you can't defend against it. Where if the old ones were just using basic guns, you know, the Necron could make better armor.
Yeah, because their technology was better.
Exactly. But when you introduce the warp and you're casting ethereal lightning bolts and flame and, like, projecting yourself places and doing all that kind of stuff, think typical magic systems, like, you can't defend against it. So that definitely helped. The two factors were the speed of the webway that it gave them, and also
their warp mastery.
Their
magic.
Yeah. So we were saying warp mastery, but we never really, like...
Yes.
I don't think we ever touched on it. Yeah.
Good.
So keep that in mind. Like, the warp can be used as a weapon as well as travel.
Yeah. So the Necron Tur rise up, they get pushed aside, and they get pushed all the way back to their own star system. And then they're just a minor annoyance.
Yeah.
Like, the old ones are like, you're not even worthy of our attention anymore.
Yeah.
So then the old ones go on to seed the galaxy, which we'll get to in a second. But the Necron Tur at this point, they not really gave up, but they're more looking at different avenues. And
yeah, they realize they can't win in a straight-on conflict. They need to change their tactic.
Yeah. So they're looking at building weapons.
And at this point, it's gone before from just like, oh, you wouldn't share your health benefits with us too, just, we hate you. Like, the Necron Tur were all across the galaxy, and then they're pushed back to one planet. So at this point, it's a huge grudge. Like,
oh yeah, it's no longer like, this is, like, necessary to unify our people. It's like, we have, like, an unreasonable rage against you guys. Yeah,
like, even though we started it,
yeah, yeah,
they're still...
We're the correct people.
Yeah. So they're willing to do anything to get back at them. They're trying to find any way to kill the old ones.
Yeah, really, to because now they want to purge.
Yeah, it's not even like they're trying to enslave them or
they are trying to commit genocide.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No. Yeah.
So they are doing some research on their son when they notice a being that is sucking the life out of the sun, the energy off of the sun. Mm-hmm. For somehow they're able to communicate with this, which they call a Satan.
Yeah.
Which is translated to Star God.
Yeah.
So they, and it's pretty unclear on this, but they make communication with it.
Yeah.
And then they make a body out of living metal.
Yeah.
And convince it to manifest its soul, spirit, like, because it doesn't, okay, there's a weird thing about Satan, something I never quite understood, which maybe you have an answer, Mark.
Okay.
But they don't exist in the warp.
No.
Because they were masters of the material universe.
Yeah.
So, but they also don't exist in our realm. Because the only way for them to manifest was to enter the material body of the living metal.
Okay, so I know what you're saying, but just because, like, you don't have a physical form doesn't mean you're, like, a warp creature.
No, it's like, most definitely not a warp creature.
So I thought that the Satan were, like, yeah, described as, like, just kind of energy.
But they had intent. I don't know. Maybe I'll do some
research. Yeah, we'll come back on that. I have it on the tip of my tongue, but I can't find the words to describe it. I'll keep thinking about it.
But they are, they're feeding off of the energy of the sun.
Yeah.
And then the Necronter convinced them to enter these living bodies. And then all of a sudden, the Necronter have a weapon that is master of this realm.
Yeah.
So the old ones can pull energy from the warp and from, like, the shadow of this realm, like the mirror of this realm. But the Satan were able to manipulate reality itself.
Yeah.
I was just reading here. Is it, maybe you'll get to this, but is it true that the Satan predate the old ones?
Yeah, because there could potentially be a lot of things that predate the old ones. It's just the old ones were the first spacefaring race. Okay. They weren't the first race. They were just
yeah,
the first
we don't, spacefaring. We don't know who the first race was. Race, we have no idea.
Yeah.
Right? So, but the old ones were the first one that traveled from planet to planet. So then you become
like extraterrestrial race.
Right. Yeah. You become a galactic player.
So it's quite possible that the Satan could be the oldest ones.
Yeah, especially because there's no culture. There's no
dying for them. Like,
no, it's really just you find a star, you latch onto it, and you just suck its energy.
And you got and millions of years of energy, and then you just go to the next star.
Right, and then you just go to another star and feed off of it.
Yeah.
Till the star dies.
Yeah.
And like I don't think they're like killing the star. Like they're not. I don't think they're sucking enough energy where it's like,
they're just living off the star.
Exactly. Yeah.
Think like stars die anyway. Like they burn out.
Yeah, they do eventually. But I don't think the Satan are adding to the death of the star.
So.
You just said Death Star, Star Wars reference.
Uh-oh. Let's make a Superman reference now. So think of...
All right, so Superman just absorbs the radiation of the sun.
Exactly. He's not killing the sun when he does it. Yeah. He's just absorbing it.
So after they have the Satan, the war completely changes.
Yeah.
Like, now the Necronter have a weapon that the old ones can't do anything about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like finding the Holy Grail.
Yeah.
Like you are now the best. So.
It's like when the Germans started taking methamphetamine.
Coke warriors!
Oh, boy.
Yeah. No, I don't know if that's a fair analogy.
I'm going to take it anyway, so.
So with the help of the Satan, the Necronter are able to push back the old ones. Now this takes a long time, and in the course of this is the seeding of the universe.
Yeah. Just before we go to that part,
okay.
Let's talk a little bit about living metal.
Oh, sure.
So living metal, it sounds a lot like what it is. It's metal that is kind of like alive, like it can take shape and like regrow itself and stuff like that. So the Satan and living metal, do we think that like they the Necron Terror made a body for them and then that was their body, or do you think they're able to like shift their body and like...
No, it can most definitely shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they can take like any form and...
Yes. Hmm. Now I do think like it fits to them, so because the living metal is first put on the Necron ships, the Necron Tear ships.
Yeah.
But this metal can shape itself and regenerate and heal itself. The way like I more picture it is like metal with nanomachines in it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Definitely.
Right. Like little tiny robots.
Okay.
That like can like meld the metal back together. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I would 100% assume that they can choose what shape it takes.
Yeah.
Now, I also think that Satan are very arrogant and egotistical, and that, like, I get where you're... I know where you're going with this, and that a Satan could be among us, and would we really know. But I really don't think a Satan would ever feel the need to...
We
are the ant.
Yeah.
To the Satan. Like,
yeah.
Why would we ever try to fit in with an ant?
Yeah.
When we're a god.
You ever heard of Ant-Man? Wait.
Another question that maybe I missed this, but was there like, why did the Necron want to go to war with the old ones? Was there like some provocation? Okay, yeah.
So they were having their like, the Necron Tear were already like, a galaxy-spanning civilization.
Yeah.
And they started fighting amongst themselves, trying to, like, divvy out little empires.
Okay.
So they want to band together so they could, you know, advance their tech or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's why they went against the old ones, is to try to band together.
Yeah, it was really, like, the leaders, the Triarch, really were just like, we need a unifying enemy.
Oh.
So they picked the old ones.
So, because otherwise their whole, everything that they've built would just...
So what would that... They'd probably have to put out, like, all this propaganda. Like,
the 100%.
Old ones are like the big evil that we have to kill.
Yeah.
And it wasn't difficult for them to do that, because the old ones denied them... their secret to long life.
Yeah. I think you walked out of the room when we were talking
Maybe
about
it was,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Okay.
Cuz they met the old ones like back when the Necron Terror were still on their home planet.
Right.
And then they tried to like get the secret to a longer life
because they're all dying in disease.
Okay.
And then the old ones wouldn't let them have it. So.
So it wasn't difficult.
An act of war.
Yeah,
it wasn't difficult to convince.
Yeah. So then when the Necron are powerful enough to like actually do something about it, Then it's like, let's get that life.
Yeah. So now we have these living metal star gods leading this Necron Tear of highly advanced people. And the warp does not affect the Satan.
Yeah.
So now the greatest weapon and advantage that the old ones have is nullified.
Yeah. I don't know if they ever give a number of how many Satan there are, but like I'm sure there's tons and tons out there.
And I also believe that as soon as like the first one came over, like he told them about the others.
Yeah.
And then when they found them, they would make bodies for them.
Yeah, so it's not like they just had one Satan and then on their own star and then that one guy won the entire war. Like they could have had millions of Satan.
Yeah. Over the span of an entire galaxy.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
So
all right, so then when the Satan join the Necron Tear, they're able to push the old ones back all the way to the Webway portals.
Yeah.
Like, the same way that the old ones pushed back the Necron Tear previously, now the Satan and the Necron Tear are going... They're purging the galaxy, really.
And they pretty much did.
Yeah, they pretty much do. And this is where the seeding of the galaxy comes into play.
The old ones are like, oh, crap, we need to... do something about this. So they decide to go to a bunch of planets and seed life forms on it that can help them. And
a couple of the more well known are going to be the Eldar and the Kork.
Yep.
But there's also the Rashan and the Knib.
Mm-hmm. And the Dropkos.
Oh yeah, the Jokeros.
The Chocobos.
Jokeros? I don't even know how to pronounce
space
it.
Space orangutans.
Yeah, the space apes.
Yeah. And, yeah, so...
The whole point of it was...
To make a bunch of allies, basically, to
allies
help them.
That are extremely warp sensitive.
Yes. Yes.
Because that, like, that's what they know. The old ones know the warp, so they're like, we need more people who are able to use the warp and are more powerful, so let's create these beings to help us fight them.
Yeah. So... Think about how long this the war in heaven must have been. Because it's not like the way Games Workshop words it, it's not like they made a bunch of these guys in a lab.
Oh yeah, they didn't just magically create them out of thin air.
They evolution seeded had planets. To take place. Exactly.
Yeah.
So the old ones could have been in the warp for
like millions of
years, yeah. Right? The Necron are basically running the galaxy, and then, you know, planets here and there are starting to seed life and you know. So the war in heaven really does go.
But couldn't they not like speed up that evolutionary process?
I don't think they bothered. Oh. Like I don't think the old ones were a very numerous race.
Mm-hmm. Probably not. And plus, like they're in the webway, they're safe. Like
yeah, they felt no need to.
They're presumably immortal, so time's not an issue for them.
Yeah.
So.
Unless they get killed.
Right. Unless all of a sudden the Satan come.
Yeah.
So at this point, they've seeded the galaxy. These races start to grow, thrive, advance, however you want to say it. The Eldar are probably the ones that the old ones put under their wing.
Yeah, they were definitely the most psychically sensitive.
And the Eldar were seeded by the old ones.
I would say most of the races in the galaxy.
Like humans were too, right?
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, that's a very interesting thought. And I was doing some reading, and let's put that in when we talk about the young races.
Okay, yeah.
At the very end. So we're going to talk about a bunch of the other young races at the end. And it's a good one, though.
Yeah.
So, the old ones create the Eldar, and the Eldar are so perfect, well-suited to their needs.
Yeah.
Because they're such a psychically connected race.
Yeah.
They take them under their ring. They show them the warp. They show them the webways. And so now the Eldar have the use of the webways in helping the fight. All these young races, the Jokero, the Rashan, the Knib, now they have all these races that can rise up and help them fight the Necronter.
Yeah.
In that, it's kind of like, I'm pretty sure it reaches a stalemate at this point. Maybe not a stalemate, but the old ones start to win again because they have all these races.
Yeah.
But the Necronter are not pushed back to the same level.
No. I'd say it's more of a stalemate where.
But it's more of they were so used to winning.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden this new threat comes out because they were purging the galaxy.
Yeah.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So now they're so used to winning, this new threat comes out, they get worried.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the Deceiver, who is one of the Satan, he goes to Cesaric, and he says, look.
You can trust me.
Yeah. It's not like my name's the Deceiver or anything. But he says, we can make you immortal. We can make it so your bodies can last forever.
And which is what the Necronter wanted from the very beginning.
That was what they wanted. They wanted they were so desperate to live past what they were.
Yeah.
So Cesaric and the Triarch, like, they're so quick to accept. There's no, like, crazy contracts or anything.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my gosh, give us this. And this is where the downfall really, everything starts to go south after this point.
Yeah.
So the Deceiver and all the other Satan get together, and they start what's called the Transference.
Which is, Did you ever read, like, what, how it actually happens?
No, I didn't.
So, from what I heard or read, I forget what happened, but there's basically, like, these giant furnaces, and they would just start pushing people into the furnaces.
What?
Yeah, yeah.
So the Satan would, or, like, the...
Just...
I guess, like when the king sets down an order, the army listens,
exactly,
right?
Yep, so entire planets are pushed into these furnaces. And what would end up happening is...
like a giant furnace.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. And what would end up happening is the Deceiver, yeah. When the people died, would start to eat their souls. Start to eat the Necrontyr's okay. souls.
Yeah, because remember, every single living thing has a connection to the warp.
Right,
yeah.
Right? And that would be your soul.
Yeah. And he decided, that's good. That is better than eating from a star. So they keep pushing more and more Necrontyr into these furnaces. And then, you know, other Satans start to hear about it. And they start to do the same. And they start to turn the entire race of Necrontyr into these soulless metal bodies. Because they just eat the soul, and here's your metal body, and they're basically a robot now.
Yeah. Now there is the... Yeah, go for
it. There are, though, like the common civilians... Their soul is gone. They're pushed in the furnace. They're basically a thoughtless robot now. But
so it doesn't actually destroy their physical bodies.
No,
this furnace.
Yeah,
it does though. My understanding is more that the consciousness is transferred from the living body into the living metal, because now this living metal is what their bodies are made of. Same bodies that the Satan have. Now all these Necrontyr are getting.
Yeah.
But in the process of their consciousness traveling, like the death of their physical body and then transferring into this robot body, like in that process is when the... because it's not really life that they have anymore. So when life ends, right, that's when the Satan gets the soul.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So they are... Their bodies are gone. Their souls are gone, but their consciousness is left.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
And then they have varying levels of...
Yeah, like if you were like a political...
So they kind of get a new body?
Yes. Yeah, a living metal body. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so and like political lever...
Sorry, it does say that these bodies, the bodies that they gave the Satan, could expand and change at will.
Oh, nice, okay.
Yeah, good. So they can definitely make any changes they want. Hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so political leaders, they were still like fully aware of what happened. The warrior cast were semi-aware. They would give in some thought.
You need your army to be able to make snap decisions.
Exactly.
And tactical reasoning.
Yeah. And to be able to learn from enemies and whatever.
Yeah.
Where the common citizen, boom, nothing. They're just soulless robots.
Just warriors. Just turn into shooting machines and...
Yeah.
Yeah. But it is interesting that Cesaric, it's the Deceiver who proposed this to everyone.
Yeah.
And, you know, true to his name, he didn't explain fully what was going to happen. And the Necrontyr was so blinded by their desire to achieve immortality that they accepted.
They went willingly.
Yeah, it was definitely, definitely willingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, now we have this race of superior technology.
Yep.
The Satan, who are masters of the material universe... And the warp doesn't work on them, and whose bodies are able to repair themselves. And now you have the Necron, which is what the Necrontyr become.
Okay.
When they...
That's a change of name.
Exactly. They exchange their living bodies for the living metal. They become the Necron.
They're no longer what they once were.
Yeah. No, so they're completely different. So
I want to look up what the Necrontyr look like.
I don't... Do they have a picture of them?
Of what?
The Necrontyr?
No. But they were
human. How do you spell it?
It's Necron and then T-Y-R. Necrontyr. Yeah. So then, this is really signaling the end of the war in heaven.
Yeah.
So at this point, the Necron and the Satan have enough firepower to completely destroy the old ones.
Yeah.
They really just search the entire galaxy for any little pockets of old one culture or civilization, and they annihilate it. They wipe it out.
Yeah.
And it is after that, after the old ones were destroyed, that Cesaric, who is like the leader of the, he was the leader of the Necrunter, and he's the one who made the deal with the Deceiver.
Yeah.
Like, and almost as soon as he did that, he realizes what a terrible mistake he made. He really just enslaved his entire race.
Yeah.
Which to is these like, star beings
that just feed off their souls.
Yeah, so it's devastating.
Yeah.
So now he realizes, I made a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
Like, I need to reverse this. But he bides his time. So he waits until all the old ones are destroyed with the help of the Satan and his warriors.
Because he still wanted them gone. Yeah,
he still wants his revenge on them.
Yeah.
And then he leads his revolt.
Yeah.
So he leads his revolt where they turn energy blasts on, because remember they had superior technology.
Yeah.
The Necrunter. They were always really smart, like really great technology. So they shoot the Satan with their weapons. Yeah.
Well, because they made the living bodies for the Satan. So they know how it works.
Yeah. They understood. They were the ones that created it. So if you can create it,
you can destroy it. Yeah.
Which... you can destroy the body, but you can't destroy a Satan.
Yeah, because then they just go back to their energy form.
Right. So what happens is their bodies explode into shards.
Yeah.
And now there are these shards of Satan, which are really just massive batteries.
Yeah.
Because they're just full of energy.
Yeah.
That the Satan, or that the Necron, understand how to manipulate.
Yeah.
And how to use.
Yeah.
So now there's little pockets and shards of Satan everywhere. And there are, at that point in time, there were 4 Satan left.
Yeah, so I wonder, like, they killed some and they couldn't kill others. I wonder what their...
I more just think that, like, some escaped. Or some were unavailable, like the Void Dragon.
Yeah.
Like, because that one's been on Mars forever.
Oh, gosh.
Right? So.
Not really, but oh, gosh.
Oh, come on.
Not forever.
How long has the Emperor been alive? Anyways, so there are still some Satan out there.
Yeah.
But most of the ones that are active, they were sharded.
Yeah.
And then the shards are spread throughout the Necron race.
Yeah.
So at this point, the young races, which are all the ones that the old ones had seeded, have so much psychic impact on the warp that it no longer is smooth and untroubled.
Yeah.
So they're fighting with psychic energy. They're drawing from it. This war is feeding energy into the warp. All this death and decay. Yeah. And things are changing in the warp.
The warp is becoming turbulent.
Yeah, exactly. This is where it really starts to get nuts and where you can no longer safely travel in it.
Yeah.
So the webways are becoming the only point of access for the warp.
Yeah.
And the Eldar are becoming very powerful.
Yeah.
Like super, super powerful.
Yeah, because they're the only ones who can get around, basically.
Yeah.
Because they got the webways. They got those safe passages through the warp.
Yeah, and it's at this point that Cesaric, the Silent King, leader of the Necron, after the revolt, after the destruction of the old ones,
yep.
And when he sees how powerful the Eldar have become, he sends every single Necron to sleep.
Yeah, because once again, there's nothing that they can do, so...
Yeah, he doesn't feel like they can win against a battle with the Eldar.
Yeah, and especially after the war on the Satan and the old ones.
Right, they're... Like,
they're severely...
Depleted.
They've had their fill of war.
They've had aeons of war.
Yeah.
Like, they're done.
Which, with their short lifespans, too, it's like...
Oh, it would have been crazy.
Like, that... Yeah, that's even crazier to think about. Like, we've been at war for a million generations, you know?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. And all of a sudden, he's done.
He's had enough.
And he's also super bummed out for the decision he made.
Yeah.
Which is, like, his fault. So, he sends everyone to sleep. He destroys the codes that allowed him to...
Control
everyone, yes. Because he was, like, the leader, so he was able to control all the other Necron. So he destroys those command codes, so now no one has access to them. And then he leaves.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to end this part?
This is something we so the add. Other thing is, he puts them all to sleep, and they build, like, these giant...
Tomb worlds,
like, under the earth. And he buries them up, and they build stasis.
Think, like, massive crypts.
Yeah.
And like sweet like temples underground.
Yeah.
Just like millions of Necrons sleeping, little machines chittering around, taking care of like basic functions.
Yeah. And yeah, they're just held cool. in stasis yeah. for I don't know if
this is 60 million years.
Yeah, so
he tells them to go to sleep for 60 million years.
Does he actually yeah. tell them? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, by then the Eldar will die out. We can come back and reclaim the galaxy.
Yeah. We can kind of try and forget what happened. We can start fresh.
Yeah.
Except, yeah. so he's the only one who doesn't go to sleep.
No, not true. They also have, what are they called? You have a kill team of them.
The Praetorians?
Yeah, pretty sure they're Praetorians. They have a couple, like, elite warrior cast that are still awake, and they go just around the galaxy to different tomb worlds and, like, check on them.
Oh, okay, that makes sense. Sorry, but I meant, like, okay, yeah. Yes, 100%, there are still some Necron that are alive.
But the vast...
The army is sleeping.
Yeah, and the civilians, yeah. like, yeah.
Everyone's sleeping. Yeah, obviously, they're and some get woken up, too. But yeah. that's like, at that point, when he sends everyone asleep, he leaves the galaxy yep. to enter the void because he feels wretched about what he's done.
Yeah.
Okay. And then that's where we'll end it. He comes back, but we'll end it here.
Yeah. Unless, any questions?
Nope.
Cool.
Seems pretty simple. I love the Warn Heaven.
It's yeah, so no, it's cool. It's definitely pretty neat. Like,
yeah, the Necron are like... one of the coolest ideas, I think. Especially, like, it's really bad, but I love it when they're slaves to the Satan.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they have no choice, and all they're doing... And so when
it's
they're
just
doing,
killing things yeah, to feed them.
Exactly. So when they're doing the Purge of the Galaxy, when the Satan really take over and they're doing the Purge, like, they're... At this point, the Satan are going out of their way to destroy life.
Yeah.
Because the Deceiver learned that souls... are way better.
They're tasty.
Than sun. So they're now going and trying to destroy all life and take all the souls.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, it's a killing field.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so cool to me.
For sure.
All right, so to finish off this episode, let's talk about a couple of the races that the Old Ones seeded.
And the title of this segment would be The Old Ones Seed.
That makes me uncomfortable. I don't want any Old Ones seed near me. Thank you very much.
It's going to happen one way or the other.
Why?
At one point in your life, nah, it's no. okay.
Okay, so the seeding happened during the War in Heaven.
Yeah.
And it takes thousands and thousands, millions of years, really, for things to grow and to evolve.
Yeah.
The more famous being the Eldar.
Yeah.
And I like we're not going to go too deep into the Eldar today because there's a yeah. lot of history with
there,
them.
There is, and like at this point, they wouldn't have all that crazy history.
No, it would really just be they grew and they grew in number, psychic potential, and tech. But it's all handed down from the old
yeah.
ones.
But like, yeah, I'm sure lots of their culture even would be like old one culture
right.
at this point yeah. in time.
When the old ones, like they really like the Eldar, so they really take them under their wing.
Yeah.
Right, because they're even showing them the secrets of the webways, and yeah. they show them how to build them and how to maintain them.
Yeah.
So, the Eldar we'll go into at a later date, but that is definitely the most well known of the young races that the old ones seeded.
Yeah.
Another one would be the K'nib, which really nothing is said other than they're described as festering, and they have and they have 10 limbs. Really, there's nothing. There's a couple like points of contact in history. So they're still out there. They still exist.
Oh, okay, that's
yeah,
neat.
Yeah. yeah, no, the Imperial forces have fought them.
Okay.
Yeah, and they exist, but other than that, they don't really contribute. They're not on the galactic level that the Eldar are.
Okay. Wow, they're festering.
Yeah, they fester. Fantastic. That's what we need, a festering race with 10 limbs. Sounds like the perfect Nurgle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, another one, Mark, Rashan.
And all that says on them is just that they were created by the old ones to fight the Necron tier. What they looked like, what their tech level was, all that is not even debatable. There's just
there's nothing
there.
So that means they didn't even have, like, during the War in Heaven, Like, yep. Just like the Knib, they didn't evolve to the point of where they were useful.
Exactly.
And then when the old one's gone, the old ones were nurturing all these races.
Yeah.
Now the old ones leave, you're kind of left to your own devices.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, the Eldar had, like, the supremacy for so long, because yeah. they evolved so much quicker than everyone else.
Yeah.
Okay, and now let's do the Kork, just to get it out of the way.
Yeah, so basically, like, the Kork, or the... They're green skinned. The opposite are... yeah, they're green-skinned,
yeah.
bulky, muscular creatures. And what's the opposite of descendant? Ancestor.
Yeah.
They're the ancestors of the orcs.
Yes.
Why they make that distinction, I couldn't find the reason why they made a distinction between the Korok and the Orc.
We'll find it.
We'll try to find yeah. something.
Because we are going to do an episode specifically on Orc.
Yeah, which is going to be episode 3. We're going to get into them.
Yeah. So we'll say no more other than they were definitely seeded by the old ones,
mm-hmm.
and then at some point they have changed into the Orc.
Yeah, maybe they sold their souls to some star gods. They've got...
Yeah, everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
Why not?
But yeah, so we'll try to find that distinction and we'll bring that up.
Okay.
And then...
I'm going to do a little one. I know Mark really wants to do this one race because he really likes it, but really quickly, the old ones did seed humanity. They came to Earth, and apparently they visited Earth multiple times.
Oh, yeah. Now I recall reading that. Yeah, yeah. yeah.
So they came to Earth, they seeded us, they created primates, and they had no other plans for us at that point.
Hmm.
So we didn't evolve, really, until way later, right? So maybe if the old ones had still been around, we would have evolved much sooner with their nurturing.
Yeah. But
we were kind of, like, the primates were left to their own devices. Then we evolve, and then we become spacefaring way later.
Yeah.
So definitely seeded by the old ones, but like all other good things in our life, abandoned by them, you know.
Oh, no.
Left it our own devices.
They just saw we were primates, and they didn't think that was very special.
So. Well, they already had some primates, which is what Mark is really excited to get into. Okay. So that's like the assumed, well, not assumed, but it's like the given description of how we came to be.
Okay.
And then we have a way more history that we'll get into later.
Yeah.
But let's do the last race that we're going to talk about that the old ones created.
The Jeropko Jerikeros.
No, it's definitely Jokero.
Jekadrooks.
Yeah. Jekadrooks. Really just
a J and then an O, and whatever you feel like tossing on the end of it, as long as there's a K somewhere in there.
If you make a monkey sound, people will know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So basically they're space orangutans, and they're very good with technology. Okay. Like they're the MacGyver of the universe. You give them a paperclip and an eraser, and they're making a weapon. So they're really good at making miniaturized versions of things too, and even to the point where the Imperium has realized, you know what, look, we'll just keep these guys around because they're not super numerous or super warlike. These Jeropko, they just kind of do their own thing. They just kind of tinker around in their garage all day just making weird things, and then they forget about it, and then they make their next new toy, and they just kind of do that. But yeah, the Imperium keeps them around, and the big thing that they do is make the Imperium's digital weapons, which are, you know, like, you got a finger ring.
Heresy.
You got a ring that has Heresy. A las cannon built into it. Like, yeah. So, they're something special.
Yeah, they're techno savants.
Yeah,
they're
exactly.
People, I'm doing some reading.
So when you compare like humanity,
like we are smarter than them.
Yeah, yeah.
But for some reason, every time they touch tech, it just makes something amazing.
Yeah, I wonder if it maybe could even be like they have like psychic potential to do it or something. Like they just are able to access like
nothing...
the psychic collective and yeah. No, this is all hypothetical. Like.
Yeah, they there is definitely... They don't do the warp, 100%. They don't touch the warp, but they seem to be able to draw energy from the material universe, which is similar to what the Satan would do.
Okay.
Yeah, but they definitely have an understanding of our universe that transcends us.
I was more thinking, like, they just, like, subconsciously tap into, like, the psychic intelligence of the universe to be able to make, like, anything they want. Like, they have, like, this...
Don't go orc on me.
No, no, that's completely different. No, no, like, they want to make a laser beam, so, like, subconsciously, like, they tap into, like, a race that knows how to make a laser beam, and then they make a laser beam, and they kind of,
okay,
like, are unaware that they're doing it, even. That's all just speculation, though.
Oh, this is what I wanted to talk about. So, the spaceships of the Jokero.
Yeah.
They are open structured framed lattices. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's better than just having, like,
no, you need a hull.
Like a spaceship?
Yeah, they're spaceships. They travel through space, and they're open-framed.
Just imagine, though, if their spaceships look like a barrel, and it's just like...
monkeys in a barrel.
Yeah, a barrel of monkeys or whatever.
So what, do they just wear spacesuits when they're in the vacuum of space?
I don't know. Like, their technology, I'm assuming force fields.
Maybe, yeah.
Right, like, there's, like, a shield around it. But really, like, it's described as polyhedron shapes unlike any other transport. So, an interesting is that the structure is vital to the design as it draws upon those galactic power currents that the Jokero are aware of and channel it in a similar manner as force weapons do.
Oh, interesting.
So, force weapons, their shape matters. Depending on the shape, determines, like, the output of the energy.
Hmm.
So, apparently, the Jokero ships do the same thing. Depending on the shape of the ship, determines what the energy it draws off will do.
Neat.
So, it's kind of cool.
It
does offer, like, an easier explanation of why they're so good on tech, because it's all just shape-based.
Yeah.
So, I was reading an interesting thing, is that if you could control the Jokero, you would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Jokero only do things in their instant need.
They
don't have, like, a long-term view of things, and it's difficult to communicate with them. So what
they
need
a food dispenser, that's what they're going to make. You want them to make you a weapon, they're not going to make it. They want their food. They want their banana dispenser first.
So a funny thing it says is that, like, if you capture one...
Wait, they're a miniature banana dispenser.
Right, of course. A million miniature banana dispensers. But it says if you capture one and try and make it create something, the only thing it's going to create... is an escape route. So, like, it'll create a way to get out, not necessarily what you wanted. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
They're definitely a funny race, for sure.
Like,
very.
The crazy thing is they lack, like, any kind of vision.
Any ambition.
Yeah, any ambition, but they're so amazing.
Why do you think they made their spaceships, though? They're like,
I don't,
like, in what need?
Someone's just like, I gotta get off this planet. So he just builds a spaceship. An open-faced spaceship. Anyway.
Apparently he didn't need walls. He just...
No, they are cool, though.
Yeah. And they're one of the major minor races. Like, they actually have a miniature and,
Like, as soon as a race achieves space travel... Now they can play on the grand scale.
Yeah.
Right, like, if you're a race that's stuck to a planet, you're kind of left. Like, you're not a threat to anyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, you can be a potential threat, but the Imperium is a little more worried with a little closer threats.
Spacefaring races, for sure.
Yeah.
And then, so that's...
I think that's it. I think that's the majority of the young races.
Enslavers. Do we want to talk about them?
Yes, I absolutely do. The enslavers actually had a huge part to play in the downfall of the old ones.
Yeah.
Do you want to hit it off, Marcus?
To be honest, I don't know much about them. I just kind of know the overtone of them.
Okay. So, when all the young races are being birthed and they're evolving, this is when the psychic presence of everything is growing. And we're saying, if you remember... that when you have a psychic connection to the warp, you do something, you feed the warp.
Yeah.
So before, primarily it's just the old ones who were wise, sage, they had their magic down to a science, so they can make as little impact as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you seed it with all these races that all have very strong flame emotions.
Yeah, right? And are young too and don't know how to...
Hot-headed.
Yeah.
Right? Not like what's considered the cold-blooded wisdom of the old ones. I really think that's a big distinction point between them.
Yeah, yeah, actually.
Is okay. That like the old ones were wise and they took things slowly.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas the Eldar
They
just dive full. The Jokuro, right? They just do what they need. It's the instant gratification. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you get all these races. The warp starts entering its throes. Right? It starts becoming more unpredictable. The waves get choppier.
Yeah.
It's more difficult to navigate. The only feasible transportation becomes webways. Enter warp life. Right? At this point, the emotions start to coalesce within the warp. And this is where the warp starts to really burn with chaos. Right? Like, this is where the birthing starts to happen.
Yeah.
And then the enslavers are like these large, gosh, how do you describe?
I always pictured them almost as like jellyfish.
Oh yeah, no, that's a good analogy.
Yeah.
A jellyfish with a more like oblong shaped head. It's got eyes, but it definitely has like tentacles that come out of the bottom. And their whole purpose is, well.
Let me guess.
All right, go
for it. To enslave.
He's right.
What a guess.
So they entered in through rifts in the galaxy. So the like the young races, they're putting so much turmoil in the warp that it starts to create rifts, and the enslavers start to pour through. Now enslavers, okay, so they use mental powers to dominate the minds of psykers. So especially now, like, they are untrained, these psykers, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The old ones have ceded, and then they're too busy fighting their war. They can't take everyone under their wing like they did the Eldar.
Yeah.
So the enslavers, they go to all these psychic races. They feed on them. They suck their husks dry or whatever. They grow in power. But one of the greatest things the enslavers did is anything warp is attracted to psychic energy.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like a demon is attracted to a psyker.
Yep.
So enslavers, number one prize, old ones.
Okay.
So actually, a big part of the fall of the old ones is that they're fighting on two fronts.
Against the Satan and the enslavers.
Exactly. So the enslavers, and as soon as they catch an old one and feed onto it, and like they, because they dominate them.
Yeah.
So if an enslaver dominates an old one who has mastery of the warp forces that old one to open a rift, which allows more enslavers to come through. So that was what was considered the enslaver plague.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm pretty sure they're not all gone.
No, they still exist. Yeah.
But they were... and it's another reason that the Necron all left.
To get away from the enslavers.
Yeah, because they're like, well, let the enslavers and the Eldar duke it out.
Yeah, yeah. And then whoever wins will deal with.
Right, which has been the Eldar.
Because
the enslavers, they haven't been destroyed, but they are very much reduced in their potency and power. And a lot of that probably has to do with the fact that Chaos Powers came into play.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Right. Because then they're no longer the big players in the warp. Then.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So, but they are, like, they were probably the original bad of the warp.
Yeah, I could get behind that.
Yeah, like, before that rage coalesced into Khorne, before death coalesced into Nurgle, there were the enslavers, and the enslavers were just pockets of feeling that manifested in these forms. It does say they have like they have a weird life cycle, and I thought it was kind of cool. They possess physical bodies, but they appear to exist in the warp space for part of their life cycle.
Huh.
So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Like they, it's almost like they found a way to exist in both.
Yeah, it's not like a demon where they're in the warp, they get summoned to the Materium for a while,
and then they're limited.
It's like they're born in the warp, then they move to the interior, the Immaterium.
The Materium. Yeah. Materium. So they're born in the warp, they come here, but they have no trouble existing here, like a demon does. Like, it's hard, like a demon has to like focus its energy to stay here.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, that is kind of cool. Yeah.
They, what another thing that makes them so dangerous is because they're from the warp, they can enter it.
Okay.
So one of the reasons the old ones were so difficult to fight is because they could be anywhere at once.
So can the enslavers. Yeah.
Right? Because, and they're not in danger
from
the warp.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? They're from it.
Yeah.
So they, I think it's an interesting race. If ever they grow in potency again, it, like, would be a massive detriment to, like, the psychic races.
Yeah.
So, like, humanity and Eldar.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a pretty big threat to them. But they're more pushed off to the side.
Okay, now hear me out.
Yeah.
Okay, so if the enslavers come in, you know what we need to do?
Just put a bunch of blanks.
Put a bunch of blanks every 50 feet.
Ah! Yeah.
Enjoy. I mean, I'm glad you knew I was going with
that.
You're
not wrong. If it like, they're... I don't think they're a big threat, really.
No, not they're anymore. Not.
They were way back when. I think the Eldar pretty much took care of them.
Yeah, and even, like you said, when other Chaos Guards started taking place, like...
They start taking all that extra emotion.
Yeah.
So they become really much like a side player in the warp, just like the furries and everything.
Furies.
I'm pretty sure they're called furries.
Yes.
No, furies.
Yeah. Or do you just want them to be called furries?
I just think all furries should exist in the warp. If anywhere.
Oh, boy.
There's probably a bunch, actually.
Is that a picture of one, too, right there?
Yeah. Well, that's one of them. The better picture of the slavers right there.
For any of you wondering, we get a lot of our information from Letsicanum.
Pretty much all of it.
Pretty much all of it. Or, you know, like, we've been doing it so long, we've read codexes and stuff, but the easiest place, if you're looking to learn more about any of these races that we've mentioned, or just kind of fact check us, is Letsicanum.
Yeah. Well,
I think that's it.
I think that concludes today's topic. Thanks for listening to A Beginner's Guide to 40K. Don't forget, we've got our email at abg40k@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Send us your questions. Love to answer them because we have no life.
And you might get a snarky response if you...
if you get me.
If you get him. And
I guess we'll see you next episode, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Peace.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. We love hearing your questions and comments, which you can leave at our Facebook page at Lorehammer or on our Twitter handle at Lorehammer40k. You can also email us at lorehammerpodcast@gmail.com. See you next episode.